ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Hello for real this time, Chris.
Yeah.
Oh, kia ora, Millie. great to be back, part two. I really just wanted to hear the theme song again, I think.
Yeah, I think so too, actually. We wanted that intro one more time.
So as we were saying,
we had exciting news.
Yeah, so South Africa's president, or maybe former, Cyril Ramaphosa, he signed in this bill, or this act, now law, Cannabis for Private Purposes Act, which I actually thought was a pretty cool concept. This actually came after a court case in 2018 in the Supreme Court, which ruled cannabis prohibition unconstitutional.
Yep.
And noted it was actually one of the few apartheid-era laws left there.
Wow.
So it's taken all this time. It's actually been in front of the president 2 years, and it was actually the eve of their election he signed it into law. So, got to say, good on the guy for actually doing it rather than, letting it lapse or something.
Yeah.
And what it does is, according to a statement, entirely removes cannabis from the Drugs and Drug Trafficking Act and recognises your right to privacy and what you do in your own home. You can grow, you can use, you can trade, you can gift, but nothing in public. And no licensed sales, which is a little bit, but it's kind of like a middle of the road, you know. They're going to recognise plant breeders' rights, expand medical access, and expunge all the criminal records of people previously busted. So, pretty big news, really. Or big for Africa, right? This is the only actual cannabis legalisation or cannabis law reform in Africa to date. So, pretty huge.
So what constitutes as private and public? Like, I guess, you know, are there certain bylaws, you know, do you have your social clubs over there or no?
Well, that actually remains to be seen in the classic words of a journalist. Because if things are happening in private, then they'll be legal. So presumably it will open up to things like cannabis clubs. And you know, fair enough, what people do together, even as a collective, that should be fair enough. But, you know, it might say that it has to be in the actual residence. So I'm not quite sure of the finer details of that, to be honest. But, I think it'll be a bit of a moving feast. I mean, they're saying no licensed sales, but with all this recognition of privacy and legal growing and legal sharing of things, it's hard not to see some sort of informal economy arising, you know?
Oh, that's really cool, though. Good on them.
Yeah, you know, and our link, because South Africa, they have the term dagga for their cannabis, and this is where our DAC comes from, that people have sort of, you know, not such a common term anymore, but if you grew up in the 80s or something, everyone called it DAC.
I can think of a few people who still call it the good old DAC.
There you go. And a nice kind of alternative to what we're seeing there, I guess, is what we saw here. The big news of the local cannabis coverage was this bust last Friday, $15 million mega bust. All the local media covered it, so you can kind of look that up if you want to see. And it was all kind of gratuitous coverage of big sticky buds and things, which is all, you know, quite pleasant, except for the thought that actually it's all been destroyed in a big bonfire.
Oh, that's awful.
And not the right kind of bonfire, right? We would burn it all just one little bit at a time, whereas, they put the whole lot up. So 5,400 plants to come up with $15 million, and that means $2,750 each, which is kind of like a 10-ounce yield. Not so sure about that. It might be a bit overvalued. But it was in all these three former market garden sites, which is pretty, like, courageous. And, you just converted a market garden to a weed farm.
Wow.
And so maybe they were getting good yields, eh?
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to choose a place to do it, it's a no-brainer.
Pretty good. the choice was, in all likelihood, smuggled people or indentured workers sent over from Vietnam. That's who was arrested, 9 people. The arrests will be the people just fronting it, who are typically sent here on false pretenses of a good life, and then they find that they're kind of like slaves on a weed farm. This happens all around the world. It's something to do with Vietnamese. They've got some pipeline of sending people out to run these weed farms, and they're all duped into doing it. And it's a bit sad. had, it's happened up north, and there's a big trial going on in the UK of exactly that kind of thing right now, if people want to look that up.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And, yeah. You know, because again, the alternative, nicely shown in some other news this week, is that, you know, like South Africa, we could, well, not like South Africa, they're not taxing it, are they? They're not actually properly regulating it.
No.
But we talked about that last week. $2.8 billion we could get in taxes here, balance the old books.
Yeah.
For a whole lot of people. And the study came out this week from the US and looked at the sales tax that they get there. $4 billion last year. Now,
yeah.
They don't do any federal taxes, and their taxes are pretty low at that kind of state level. So there's certainly capability to raise a lot more. But since 2014, when it's been legal in various states, about $20 billion raised. And
wow.
What they noted is they tend to direct that tax. This is just on the adult use cannabis, not the medical. They tend to direct it into things like education, building classrooms, funding more police or buying them equipment, rehab programs, drug and alcohol treatment. All these sorts of things tend to get funded through that. They'll allocate that.
Yeah.
And through what they pass. And it's exactly what we could do here. You know, with that that $2.8 billion, and by the way, 400,000 full-time jobs in America in the legal cannabis industry now.
Yeah.
So you think of that, $2.8 billion, we could fund all those missing farm act drugs, another 500 extra police,
yep.
And stop firing all the public service workers. You could do all of that with those taxes.
All in one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It seems like a really fair trade, you know, when you're thinking about...
Yeah, I would happily pay the tax. That's for the 20% tax with prices staying, you know, what they are now at about $3.50 an ounce.
Yeah. And everyone's saying, oh, well, what about, you know, does the bad outweigh the good? Well, no, because, you know, a lot of that tax is going back into rehabilitation and, you know, safe use and things like that.
Exactly. And less crime, you know. And,
totally.
Put a stop to the smuggling of these unfortunate Vietnamese people who are... into our little weed farms.
Yeah.
2 tons, by the way, going back to that, our market here is about 80 tons. So it's I guess you could say that's a fairly significant amount, but really, 2 tons out of 80, it's probably extra supply. It's not actually going to make any kind of dent in what's actually out there, I would think. So,
yeah.
But if anything, what we find under prohibition is you take away some of the supply, the price goes up, or the incentive, you know, is to then just keep doing more of it. And, so this grow, you know, we can just expect more of the same, I think.
Mm.
Bigger grows, more money, that's what we'll get.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, just rounding things out, another new study that came out, cannabis and cannabinoid research found cannabis consumers slightly more likely than non-users to engage in light physical activity. Which ties into a study we talked about a few weeks ago where it was that cannabis consumers went for walks.
Yes,
and,
they do.
What the study did, they gave everyone accelerometers, about 5,000 people in Canada, and they found there was no difference in the lying around on the couch and the vigorous activity.
Yeah.
There's no difference between whether you use cannabis or not. Everyone did the same amount. But the light physical activity, the cannabis consumers did more, did extra.
That's insane.
And among those aged 60 or over, it was even more pronounced.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Because they're saying there's no difference in time between the two groups, users and non-users, in daily sedentary time, vigorous exercise, and sleep. So that's great.
Yeah, but more light physical activity.
Yeah.
That sounds good, you know.
That's great. That's
if you ache and pains or gives you a bit of incentive to go for a walk around the neighbourhood or enjoy nature a bit more.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, great stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah.
And,
but, hey, speaking of, busting stereotypes and things.
Yes,
we've got this great exhibition starting tonight, High Art. And I've got Hayley next to me. And as she pointed out before, it's actually, you know, this is quite a courageous exhibition. And it's the first thing to really combine high art and cannabis culture.
Wow.
Yeah. Hayley, g'day.
Hello, Hayley.
Hello, hi Millie. Hi. I just want to say thanks to Chris for and the Hemp Store for hosting me here, and huge respect to Chris for all that he does for the cannabis movement in New Zealand. I've long been a fan of those.
Oh, yeah. I didn't put her up to that.
Did you? No, I'm just kidding. Kudos to Chris. And so Hayley, are you excited all month in the Hemp Store?
Yeah, I am excited and a bit anxious, as I always am with art shows. But
yeah.
This one's a fun one, and it's kind of like supposed to be kind of like stoner comedy. Like the images are like little figurine-based photographs with buds that I've either had prescribed to me legally or that I've grown myself for my own use.
Wow.
And they've got hilarious titles. Well, I think they're hilarious. Like, they all come from songs or the titles.
Oh, wow.
We've got a specially curated playlist as well.
Yeah.
So while people are here.
Yeah,
so they can listen to all those songs. And we've also got Ducklings and Monster playing music at 6 o'clock. She'll be in.
That's in the changing room at the shop too, just by the way.
Yeah.
What a venue.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite, Hayley? A favourite piece?
I think the one I'd talk about is called We Don't Trouble Your Banana. And that's an image of these live plants that I've just plucked from the garden, ready to dry them out.
Mm.
And it's got one little figurine who's got his hands up in the air and a couple of police and a police dog coming to bust him.
Wow.
And I called it We Don't Trouble Your Banana. It's from that song, Eka Mouse song, Police and Helicopters. That verse is really cool. It says, we don't trouble your banana, we don't trouble your corn, we don't trouble your pimento, we don't trouble no one at all. And us donors, we really don't trouble anyone.
No. Oh, that's some good activism through art there.
Thank you.
Yeah, well...
it's something I believe in a lot.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think it's well worth a look. So it's there all month. Listeners, head along to the hemp store and go and look at Hayley's wonderful art.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for both of your time.
Oh, that's a pleasure. And yeah, thanks, Millie, for having us on. And as always, and come on down and check out the exhibition, High Art, running through till 27th, Matariki E.
Great stuff. All righty. Well, you guys have a great Thursday. Thank you.
Cheers. See ya.
Bye.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to The Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.